Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does literally set us free. It sets people free. We thank you that your word is who you are. They're not just words, but they're words of life because you are the word of life. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives at this moment. That in the context of everything you're doing, you would find us really responsive to you, Father, and everything you want to do in us and through us as a people. So, Father, I just pray that as a share for a bit this morning, as we have communion, you would just work in our lives, you would do stuff in us, and continue to form and shape us into the people you've called us to be, not just as individuals, but as a church together, as a body, as a family. And everything you want to do through our lives, Father, in Horsham, 25-mile radius, and beyond as Kingdom Faith. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Last week, you heard some stories and they didn't go into loads and loads of detail, but you can obviously pick up from what was said, the kind of lives that they've had and what's happened, to some of them in their stories. And on one level, it's very easy to think that that is a long way away, thousands of miles away. But we have people that are going through that right on our doorstep. Maybe not to the same scale as there is in other countries, but it's certainly going on. And, I've heard of various things that have happening locally, Horsham, Crawley, where people are literally in the same kind of situations as those people, where they're just treated as slaves or they're in situations that we would describe as hell on earth. And for some people, that's all they've ever known. And I know for me, not just the Sunday morning, but chatting with them Saturday evening, the night before when we were having dinner with them and just finding out a bit more about them, getting to know them more. Just, that there are people out there that all they've ever known is hell. And I think for me, one of the things last weekend, it just put into perspective, we don't really have much to moan about, complain about. We might have the odd little challenge here and there, the odd thing we got to work through. I don't want to diminish anything, but we do go through very, very real challenges, and there are situations in our lives that can be pretty challenging. But I think there's a lot of stuff in our lives that we make more of that we don't really need to, in relation to what some other people are living through. And the amazing thing is, when you come to know God, the life that he gives us is an overcoming life. The life that he gives us is one of power, because his life is supernatural. His life is powerful. So when he gives us his life, he gives us his word, and he gives us everything we need to actually see victory in our lives, to see breakthroughs in our lives. He gives us everything we need to actually not live under circumstances, but how to actually live over them and see change in those things. It's like God's given us the ammunition to actually help to fire, shoot at and have victory over the negative stuff in our lives. But at the same time, God wants to bring people into freedom where they're not in freedom. And again, he is the power, his word is the power, his life is the power to enable us to come into that freedom. And so God doesn't want any of us to have a victim mentality, but one of victory and an overcoming mentality. And, you're probably the same as me, amazed at some of these young people that stood here last week that were only 18, 19 years old for the first 16 years of their life, living in an orphanage or in other scenarios, where they were slaves, they're in captivity, they had nobody to love them, nothing really to shout about up to that point in their life. But yet in such a short space of time, 2 years, totally set free, full of joy, passion, hunger to know God. And it just shows the power of God that when people can come so damaged because of what's happened to them, but yet in such a short space of time, they can live in freedom and victory and amazing stories and testimonies of what God does. And why is that? ultimately, it's because of the power of God's love in people's lives. The power of his love to deal with every negativity that people could face and instead bring them into everything that is positive of who God is. God brings people into a relationship of love with him, and the power of that love transforms people's lives. And what we want to look at this morning for a few minutes is I want to just share a bit rather than sort of preach to you, because it's all in the context of what God is already doing amongst us. And last week was part of what God is doing in us. So I hope you didn't see last week just as a few visiting people sharing a few stories, but I hope you capture a little bit more than that of what God is doing in our lives at this moment. And part of the reason why, in God's wisdom, we got connected with these guys for them to be here on that day, it was all part of what God's doing in us to move us forward, as well as what God's doing in these people's lives where they are. And we can bless them with finances, which is brilliant, and we can sow into them. But we also, in terms of Streetlight, have something going on ourselves here to reach people in the same kind of scenarios as some of these guys have come out of. And we can reach into people's lives in our own back garden, right where we are. And so it's one thing to be impacted by something in that moment. It's another thing to say, right, what am I going to do as a response? And some of you might have been really impacted by that and say, actually, I want to get involved in something that we're already doing as a church and with other people from other churches to see other people's lives in our own local area impacted. You might not necessarily have a heart to get involved in the things that they talked about last week or what Streetlight is, but you know God is speaking to you and doing a number on you at this moment in relation to his heart for people. Because that's really what God is doing at the moment, his heart for people. And one of the things that he's doing is he's stirring up our spirits. In Haggai 1 verse 14, we've had that verse as a bit of an overview verse for this autumn, that God's saying, I'm going to stir up the spirit of the people. And then it says, and then they went to work on the house of the Lord. God's agitating our lives. God is annoying us, if I can use that phrase. He's annoying me. Not that I'm annoyed with God or he's annoyed with me, but he is annoying me. He's agitating me. He's stirring me up. And I said this last week and the week before, whenever, how many times recently, you know, there's a number of conversations I have with some of you guys where, you know, God's doing the same thing. He's stirring you up. He's not letting you stay settled, you know, where you have been. He's agitating you. He's wanting to move you and me and us from one place to where he wants us to be. He's not letting us be comfortable. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, you know, look, they look round and they say, is this all there is? There must be more than this. See, that's what God's doing. Do we get to the point where we say, there must be more than this? Until we get agitated, we don't do anything. We don't change our actions, our lifestyle. It's easy as a Christian to be blessed and to have a nice feeling and all of that. But actually, God is part of this stirring up is not just us getting more excited, but actually it's God stirring us with his heart, with what is on his heart, with what he is looking at. And as we spoke about a few weeks ago, what is God looking at? And that whole message was about people that he doesn't have. That when you've lost something, you're looking for it, your car keys, your wallet. That's a little bit annoying. But if you lose a person, one of your kids, the whole world has to stop at that moment, doesn't it? Everybody has to join in to find one of your kids, because your kids are a little bit more important than your car keys or a wallet. At least you can replace your cards and your bank cards, and you can get another set of car keys. But you can't replace one of your kids. And it's like God is stirring every one of us at this time. And I believe some of the future of the church is how we go forward as a church is really important at the moment as to how we go forward, that we really grasp and understand what God is doing. And over the next few weeks, we are going to have a bit of a theme, but it's already kind of happening. And that theme is choose love. And the theme really is about God's love for people. What's the nature of God's love? What is his love for the church? What's his love for the Jews? What's his love for people of other faiths? What's his love for people who live other lifestyles? What's his love for your neighbor? And we're going to be unpacking some of that. And different people are going to be speaking about some of these things. And maybe some of this is going to challenge us a little bit. One week we're going to speak about how does God love people who live a completely different lifestyle? than we do. And there's a number of different things. We're not going to go there today. But how do we love people in the same way that God does? Because if God loves people, then he puts that same love in us to love people. So we want to be really practical and very real about what we want to look at. But it's all in the context of God stirring up our spirit, stirring us up and rattling our cages, if I can put it that way. And at the beginning of the new year, we're going to have 40 days of prayer and fasting to start the year off. And one of the things I believe God's been saying is that we need to give the first of the year to God. We need to give the first 40 days as a tithe to God. 40 is roughly a tenth of how many days there are in a year. And I believe that God's saying, I want you to tithe the first 40 days. I want you to give of the first 40 days. And we're going to explain more about that over the next few weeks. But just to lodge it in your heads and your hearts, that from Monday the 5th of January for the next 40 days after that, we're going to just really get in there with God, and we'll give you something, you know, that'll have everything, and you know, you can have in your hand, in your Bible, and all of that kind of stuff, and how we're going to go through those 40 days. We want to launch into the first part of the year in that way and set our lives apart for what God wants to do in the rest of the year. And we know from what the Bible says that financially, if we, and if we give of the first of our lives, but if we give the tithe, the first of what we earn and our increase, if that's the first thing we do with it when we receive it, the Bible says that the rest is blessed. And there's a release of God into our finances in that way. It's the same with our time. It's the same with our lives. If we give the first of who we are to God and what he wants to do, then something happens on the rest of our time. How many of you have sometimes you got up in the morning, you're so busy and rushed, you sort of run into the day and you find it's just a busy day, and at the end of the day you're like, God, that was a manic day, it was tough, it was hard work, but you feel like I didn't have time to do everything. But yet, you know, when you get up and you say, right, I'm going to just spend time with the Lord here, and the first part of that day is just with the Lord in the presence of God, something happens on the inside of you. There's a peace. There's just a rest. The day can be manic. It can throw all sorts of things at you. But because on the inside there was rest and there was peace, there's something that can't be shaken, even though circumstances, people, stuff comes at you. It's like, the day started with God first. And therefore there was something then about the day that enabled you to handle stuff in a different way than otherwise. It doesn't mean, if we don't spend time with God, the days that we bless. But it's a principle in our lives that how we put God first unlocks other stuff in our lives. And so over the next few weeks, we want to look at, in more depth really, God's love for people. And next week, Pastor Gary is going to be speaking really about God's love for the church and what does that really look like practically in our lives. And then we're going to look at, Jane's going to be speaking about God's love for the Jewish people. Not just over in Israel, but here where we are. There's a lot of Jews that live in our area. What does that look like to love them and to reach out to them? There are many, many people in our area that have different faiths. They believe different things. And Jamal is over here. These guys live in Worthing, they're part of the church. Jamal works in the Middle East and does some phenomenal stuff. And so he's going to speak on what is God's love for people who have other faiths, and he'll give some of his testimony in that as to how God saved him out of the faith that he had in another faith, and how God saved him and what God's doing in him and through them, and what it looks like to love other people. There's a lot of people in our area, particularly Crawley, that have different faiths. Then we all have neighbours, people, the everyday conversations, people we know, work colleagues, friends. What does it mean to really love our neighbour and love the people around us? And obviously it's more than just being nice to people, as we're going to discover. But it's all going to be part of God stirring. So if you want to be stirred, this is the place to be. 9:30 every Sunday for the next few weeks. If you don't want to be stirred, then stay in bed and do something else. But if you want to be here, and if you know others that need to be stirred, maybe bring them along as well, invite them. I don't know, use anything to get them here, but just bring them anyway, right? In the new year, we are going to change the time of Sunday morning. Is that right? It's going to be earlier. No, it's not. It's going to be later. It's going to be 9:35 instead of 9:30. No, from the 5th of January, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock. Crawley starts at 10. We're looking to move Worthing to a morning in January, the congregation there. And that'd be great to do that. New venue down there as well. And that'd be good. That's going to be at 10 o'clock also. So everything will kind of be at 10 o'clock. And then Discover in all the locations will happen after that. Still, we're going to carry on with that. It's been really good, really effective in the life of the church. So let's just get into a few things now. You ready? It is kind of what the message is, but it's not. But let's just look at a few things. In your Bible, just turn to John 3:16 and have that ready for a minute. Just going to talk for about a quarter of an hour. That will shock you. And then can he really talk for that shorter period? Don't believe you. And then we're going to have communion. Overview, little faith. That you'll find out in a minute. Now, one of the things that we want to do is we want to give everybody or give every household a book today. And Stephen Matthew, he's part of the leadership or founding leadership team up at what was called Abundant Life in Bradford, it's now called Life Church. He's written a brilliant book on rooting out relationship killers, proven strategies to help you cultivate and maintain healthy relationships. So we bought a load of these and we want to give you one of these today. Is that okay? And there's loads of chapters in here about how do you build healthy relationships in your life, whether you're married, whether it's with your kids, friends, whoever. And we want to, in one sense, what we want to do as a leadership is we're saying we want to put some stuff into your hands, okay? And this is a really easy book to read, very short chapters, so great for the blokes. And sorry, there's no pictures, lads, but there's loads of different aspects of relationships. At the end of each chapter, there is a weed. What is the weed that pulls down that kind of relationship? But then what is the feed? What do you feed in instead to build in that area of relationship? So you can get your copy or your household copy or whatever at out in the hub afterwards. If you could do that, we have got a whole list of names so that when you grab your book, we can tick you off to make sure you've got your book. And then if people are not here, then we know who hasn't got those yet. So we can make sure every household gets one of these books. Now, the idea of these is to read it. You know, we'd really appreciate it if you didn't just take it home and shove it on your bookcase and say, that was nice, your church gave me a book last week. But if you could actually maybe use it in your household, in your family, and be really good. Just, I don't know, there's 17 or 18 chapters, really practical, great stuff. But this is going to help us as well over the next few weeks in relation to what God is doing. So how many of you want healthy relationships? Okay, get stuck into that. Here's a little tool and resource. Very simple, but profound stuff in here. It's great. And so hopefully that'll really bless you. Let's have a look then. John 3:16. I mentioned this at the end last week, that when I was praying, not just last week, but just the week before, one morning, I was just spending some time with the Lord, and I don't normally write down what I want to say to him. I normally just say it, but I write down what he says to me. And but this particular morning, I just wrote down a few sentences, and this is what I wrote. I just said, Father, I want you to show me who you are so that I can see you more clearly, know you more deeply, and hear you more specifically, so that I can obey you more quickly and live for you more fully. Now, I wrote that down, and I wrote it down, and if I'm honest, I was expecting God just to tell me something about himself that would, you know, wow, God, you're amazing. Oh, you know, and I'd end up just worshiping the Lord, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, God, yeah. And as if it's, well, it's going to be easy to obey you then, isn't it? You know, because you're just so amazing. And that, I suppose that's what I thought would happen. And as I sat there and I wrote this out and I was just sitting there, it was literally a few seconds later, when God just said to me, as clear as anything, he just said to me, emergency, emergency, all hands on deck. People's lives are going down. The sea of darkness has overtaken them. People are drowning in their own sin, but many don't realize it. The power of death is overcoming them. They need rescuing. They need saving. Who will go? Who will respond? That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting some, you know, thing about his, you know. But actually, God did reveal something about himself. He did say, this is who I am. And it wasn't what I was expecting, but it was God saying, now either God totally ignored what I said, you know, and it was like, Clive, doesn't matter what you write down, this is what I'm going to say to you anyway, sunshine. Or in relation to what I wrote down, it was God's answer to that. And I believe it was God's answer in that moment. And I think this is what God is stirring, and I know I'm grappling with it and working with it, but responding to it as well, in terms of what it looks like with family members, with other people that we know that aren't saved. And but it's God's, how God sees things and his perspective on what is going on in people's lives. We heard those lives last week. God sees all of that, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Very easy for us, isn't it, to live out of sight, out of mind, you know, but yet God sees everything going on all of the time. And I believe there is a shout, a loud cry coming from God's heart at this time for us as a people to respond to as a church, where he really is shouting as loud as he can shout, emergency, emergency, all hands on deck. And when I heard that, when I heard him say that, also at the same time, I heard the, all these alarm bells going off, like it was, I don't know what film it's in. You know, what's the things they have, the strings, the puppets, Thunderbirds or whatever. I don't know if it was from there. But they have a sound that goes, or whatever. You know, when there's an emergency, that sort of thing goes off. Thunderbirds are go. There you go. Whatever it is. But thanks, mate. Got me out of there. But it was, as well as the words, it was the sound. It was like the immediacy, the moment. It was now, you know. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. The word love there, as many of you will know, maybe some of you don't, the word love there is agape. And when you look at the word agape, the Greek word there, it's a love that is from the will. It's not a love that is from emotion or from the mind. It's love that comes from the will. Now, how do we know that in one sense with God? Because his nature is love. The Bible says that God is love. His nature is love. Therefore, his nature is to love. But God's love is not a love from the mind, and it's not a love from emotion. God's love is one from the will. Why? Because his nature is love. Therefore, he loves as a decision. He doesn't love because of the moment. It's really important. So often in our human dynamic of love, our love can change and go up and down a little bit depending on people's performance or how we're doing with somebody. And our love can be expressed in a moment. But God's love is not determined by a moment or by our performance. God's love comes from the will. It's a decision that he makes because his nature is to love. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, you know when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. What does he say there? The first thing he says is, this is then how you should pray. And he says, you need to lift your hands to heaven. But he says, our Father. So the first thing that Jesus speaks about in relationship with God is relationship. That he's a father, and that he wants a father's relationship with us as people. So when we read John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, he's coming from the point of view, not just as creator, not just as Lord, not just as King, not just as Savior, but he's coming from the point of Father, first of all. He's coming from God as Father, and those that I've created to be in relationship with me as sons and daughters, I want to bring them back to relationship with me. So my love is expressed as a father first and foremost, because any father that loves his kids wants to rescue them out of anything that could separate them from him. And so his love is not just a rescue, it's a redemptive love, because it brings people out of where they are into their purpose and into their fulfillment, which is primarily and firstly to be in relationship with him. So the love that God gave is one to bring us into relationship with him. Powerful love, because that love overcomes anything and everything. That's the power of God's love. So the nature of his love is to give. So God, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's interesting, isn't it, that before we were even around, God gave himself for you and I. So we can understand from that that his love for us is not based on our performance. It's based on his nature. You see, God's love, how much he loves you, will never change. He loves you as much now as he ever will. That's amazing, isn't it? So you might think, well, if I get closer to God, he'll love me more. No, you'll just know his love more. Well, if I see more things happen, then God will love me more. No, you'll just know him more. See, God knows you fully. God loves you fully. But the more we respond to him determines how much more of his love we live in and more of that dynamic of relationship that we live in. Pastor Colin said something the other week that he's never doubted God's love for him because of whatever happened to him when he first gave his life to the Lord. That's a great place to live. Great revelation to have, isn't it? And sometimes we're challenged by our performance or because of how we think or see ourselves in that sense. But God wants us to have a fresh revelation of his love and his love for people. Because God's love is not based on what you do and what I do. God's love is based on his character and on his nature. So God's love is constantly to give, to give, to give, to give to you and I. But how we respond to him in our lives determines how much we receive and walk in the nature and the dynamic of that love. And he gives us his word, he gives us the truth to help set us free from wrong thinking. The Bible says in Romans 12, doesn't it, that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why? Because God knows our thinking often isn't in line with his thinking. So he puts his thinking in the Bible so that we can read it and see how he thinks about us, how he sees us, what the nature of his love is towards us. That first and foremost, he's your father, and therefore we approach him as a father. And a father will always run towards his children. Now, sometimes if there is an issue, a father needs to say, okay, before we embrace and this, that, and the other, we just need to resolve this issue and sort that out. God's not afraid of sorting issues out in our lives. God's not afraid of confronting us with stuff that is not right in our lives because he's secure in himself. But why does he do that? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to live more fully in who he is. As love. God is no respecter of persons. You know, the Bible says, doesn't it, that God resists the proud but raises up the humble. So if we have a proud attitude, it doesn't mean that God does not love you. It just means we're not going to encounter God or know God in the way that he wants us to because there's pride in our lives and there is then a resistance from God. Is it resistance against you? Actually, it's a resistance against the pride that is at work in you or in me. That's where we get resisted. But as soon as we repent or humble ourselves and say, God, forgive me, and we humble ourselves, then immediately God's love doesn't change, but our relationship with him changes because there isn't that pride now that is being resisted by him. Because he said, look, you can't receive in the way that I'm giving to you because there's something that is hindering you from receiving. So it's not that God stopped giving, it's just that the way we're living has stopped us receiving. Because God's nature is to give. God's never going to say, hang on, got a bad hair day, bad attitude today, I'm not going to love you today. Hang on, right, red card, you're out of order. He's like, no, I'm going to keep loving and loving, but I'm going to point out something and show you something in your life that you need to respond to so that everything I'm giving, you can live in the good of and you can receive. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to give. And as soon as you humble yourself, boom, you just receive the benefit of what I'm already giving. Why? Because his nature is to give. God never turns the tap of love off in our lives. You're having a bad day. I'm having a bad day. God doesn't say, let's turn the tap off. No. What he does is he says, right, Holy Spirit, just nudge them, convict them, show them. Because I don't want them to live that. I want them to live in the fullness of who I am, the abundance of who I am. So just show them, you know, the thinking's wrong, the attitude's wrong. Just show them because I want them to live fully in who I am. Why? Because he's a father. That's what he wants, relationship with you and I, with any person. 1 minute, then we'll have communion. Is that okay? God's love is expressed in action by expression. It's more than a feeling and an emotion. God's love is expressed in action. And we see here, just very quickly, God's love never fails. Over 35 times in the Bible, it says God's unfailing love. He'll never let you down. Why? Because God cannot fail. God's love is merciful. Why? Because he is merciful. He treats us in a way that we don't deserve. God's love is forgiving. Why? Because he is forgiveness. What does forgiveness do? It lets you off. Wow. When you forgive somebody that's done something against you, we forgive them anyway, even if they never apologize. We forgive them and we're saying, we let you off. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm going to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, it affects, you know, so you let it go, even though you might not be at fault, because we think, well, I've got the right. But we say, no, I'm going to let it go. Why? Because that's love. That's why? Love gives. Love forgives. Love shows mercy. Just one last thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. If you want to quickly turn there, some of you will know these scriptures very well. Maybe some of you have never read them in your life before. But in the Bible, it talks about here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 onwards. It describes love. And what I want us to do is I want us to replace the word love with God. Okay? So let's just have a look here. We're so used to reading it as love is patient, love is kind. But let's have a look. Replace it with God. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. He does get angry, but he's not easily angered, the Bible says. Slow to anger, but rich in love, right? God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. That's a brilliant one. God keeps no record. How do we know that? Because love keeps no record of wrong. If God's nature is love, and this is the love it's talking about, God wipes the slate clean and you have a totally new start. When you ask God to forgive you, boom, it's gone. It's history. He keeps no record of that wrong. God does not delight in evil, but God rejoices with the truth because he is the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God is a God of hope. He always hopes. God always perseveres. God never fails. Wow. Just replace sometimes things in Scripture with the word God, and it's like, wow, it's not just love, this thing, but it's God. God is love. That's his nature. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's just close our eyes for a few moments. If we could have all the communion servers up, that would be great. Thanks. Last week was a very emotive week, wasn't it? I think just about everybody was crying in the room at some point or other. Very emotive. What was it? God's heart for people. There was an impact because of their stories, but it's also God's heart for people. Very easy to live from an emotion or an emotive moment. But God wants us to live from agape, from the decision of love, not an emotion of love or the thinking of love, but from the will, the decision to love. Now, if you know Jesus here today, then you have that love in you already, because God has come to live in you and he is love. And you have that ability to love from the will. Not your own will and your own effort, but God has put his spirit in you to give you the power to live and to love in the way that he does. Maybe people here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never met him. You've never encountered him. You've never known his love or his acceptance. You've never known his forgiveness. You've never known what it's like to actually meet God who is alive. You've never had the concept that God is a father. Well, the Bible talks about God being a father. It's about relationship. And he's created us as people to know him, to be his children, the Bible says, sons and daughters, children of God. And that's God's heart for you, that you would know him. He knows you. He knows everything about you already. And he doesn't reject you. But actually, he wants to draw you towards him. He wants you to know him. There's nothing you could do in your life that could ever change how he is towards you. You might think, I've done stuff that can't be forgiven, or I've done stuff that I don't think God will forgive. God's able to forgive anything and start you completely off in a new life with him. So as we all respond together this morning, and we're going to have communion for those of you that do believe and you have a relationship with God, communion's for you today. If you don't know Jesus, and you're saying, well, I'm just interested, but I'm not there yet, that's fine. But then communion is not for you this morning, because communion represents a relationship with God. When we eat the bread and we drink from the cup, it's just juice, red juice in there. We're basically thanking God for what he's done in our lives. Communion represents Jesus dying on the cross, saying, I gave my body. The bread represents his body. His body was given for us. And the blood, the juice, represents his blood that was shed on the cross. And in the Old Testament, in the Bible, any sacrifice that was given to God, there had to be blood shed, and the blood represented being forgiven. Now, we don't have to bring sacrifices like that now, because Jesus became the sacrifice when he died on the cross. And because he shed his blood, that was the blood that was needed to offer as the sacrifice to God. And the Bible says he died once, but he died for all, for everybody. And because of what he's done, nobody has to sacrifice their lives like that, because Jesus did it. But what we do is we come before God and we bow our knee and we say, God, I want to live in a way that honors you, glorifies you. You gave everything for me, and I want to give everything of who I am to you. Now, some of you might be here today and saying, that's the place I'm at. I don't know Jesus, but I want to give my life to him today. And while everybody else takes communion in a few moments, we're just going to pray together with those that you want to respond to Jesus this morning. Say, God, I want to take that first step to give my life to you. Maybe others of you, it's like, God, I want to know you as Father in a greater way. Thank you for a fresh revelation of your love this morning. Remember, his love is not based on your performance. It's based on his nature and character. Yes. Does that mean we just do whatever we like? No. Because whenever we live like that, doing our own thing, it separates us from his love. Yep. As in, we don't live in the good of that relationship of love. But when we seek to walk with him and say, God, I want to walk with you, walk in your ways, you walk in that relationship with love. Because the Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey me.
That's right.
But you see, don't live the wrong side of the comma. Don't think, well, I've got to obey God to show that I love him. No, that's the wrong side of the comma. You know, when you love somebody, oh, I love to, you know, when you love God, I love to obey him. Because it's not a rule or a law. It's a hunt, it's a desire. See, that's the difference. In the natural mind, you go, I don't get that. But when you give your life to Jesus and you know what he's done for you, you're like, God, I want to do whatever you want to do in me. I want to do whatever you're saying to do. Why? Because you love him and you want to please him. Not because you have to, because you want to. It's the other side of the comma. It's that I obey God because I love him. Not I obey God because I have to. So, Father, I thank you for a release this morning, a breaking this morning of anything where we live by law, by rote, or because we think we have to. Father, I thank you for a fresh revelation this morning for people of the dynamic of your love in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. if you want to just start sharing out the communion this morning, just as you eat the bread and drink the wine this morning, wherever you are standing today, just thank him. Father, I thank you for a fresh revelation of you as my Father. I thank you, I belong to you. You're my Father and I'm your child. Just surrender to you afresh as my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Once you've had some bread and everything, just turn to somebody else. Just pray together in twos this morning, okay? You guys all right? Just take a bit of bread and maybe turn to somebody else. Have community. Eat the bread together. Just pray for one another. Pray for a fresh understanding of God as Father. Just pray for them for a fresh release of God's love in their lives. If you know you need to deal with anything in your heart today where you know you've resisted God, then just pray that out as well. Deal with that so you can come into a greater release of his love today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.